Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Time to go down to Vegas. Our guy, hopefully not in a Vegas swimming pool right now, Todd
the
Herman.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Although I saw like a really kind of frightening stick figure picture of Todd on his Instagram page yesterday.
You know what? Every now and again, Brent, that's the flattering, slimming Todd Furman there post-pool season. I mean, I'll have to put on a little bit of weight before next spring. I'm just disappointed Mickey's not already down in Tuscaloosa with an RV trying to start his tailgate for Arkansas State catching 36.5 against the Crimson
Tide. I know. What, did they have any shot of covering that 36.5?
They definitely have a shot. I think the back door could be open. And when you look at the Red Wolves, obviously the class of the Sun Belt, although Appalachian State's going to have something to say about it. That's a big, big number. It's a question of when Alabama elects to take their foot off the gas. Not a game that I would be running to bet myself, though. Maybe more fun to watch and sweat a backdoor cover, should you so choose.
I love it. Let's start in the SEC, Todd, and get right into it. Mississippi State at Kansas State. Mississippi State favored by 9.
Yeah, when you look at this game, it's very interesting. When you consider the Bulldogs are the first ranked non-conference opponent to go to Manhattan since Auburn did in 2014, and you have to go all the way back to 2002 to find the last time Kansas State beat a ranked non-conference opponent outright. This number at 9, I feel, is begging for a little bit of dog money here. Kansas State had a slip by South Dakota last week against an FCS opponent. Nick Fitzgerald, of course, wasn't out there for Mississippi State. It did not slow them down in racing out to 600-plus yards in a 63-6 win. Ultimately, I think it comes down to Mississippi State's defensive line. If they can make life difficult for Alex Delton and Skylar Thompson, they can cover the number, but you're not going to get catch me often making a case to lay over a touchdown in unfamiliar territory, even if I think I have a far superior team. Mississippi State wins. Wouldn't shock me if Kansas State covers.
Babs can't ask about this game because she's doing it. Nevada at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt by 9.
Well, I think when you look at Vanderbilt's performance last week, those who see the final score go, oh, the Commodores absolutely dominated middle. And I'm going to have a very different mindset there, because even at half when Vandy took that lead into the break, they were actually outgained, put up a robust 90-yard performance in the first half. Nevada, meanwhile, has a high-powered offense that I think could put pressure on the doors. And when you consider the early scheduling spot, probably working against Vandy, knowing that they have a trip to South Bend on deck, wouldn't shock me if this game comes down to the wire. I'll make a case for the Wolfpack coming into Music City and keeping this game a lot closer than Nashville faithful would like.
Really? Close? I haven't worked a close game in a while.
So you're like the anti Gus Johnson then there.
Yeah,
Don,
you should have had that information before you gave your take there.
You know what that may mean then. If I lean Nevada, maybe Nevada wins the game outright by double digits, and I should double down on the money line apparently.
Oh yeah, there you
go. Sticking in the SEC, Texas A&M I thought looked good under Jimbo Fisher in their debut, but man, sure doesn't get any easier. Clemson at Texas A&M 12.
Yeah, this game a lot more difficult than what A&M had to handle last week against Northwestern State. I actually think when you look at Texas A&M, the idea that Kellen Mond is going to make a much more dynamic passer than Nick Starkel could come back to bite Jimbo Fisher in the rear this week. Clemson's defensive line should absolutely feast in hostile territory. And while I'm a little bit concerned about Clemson not committing to one quarterback or another, I just think they have too many horses, too many
animals. I mean, I've got to think Texas A&M hadn't been a double-digit dog at home very often.
It definitely doesn't happen all that often. I think it's imperative that A&M gets out to a quick start, because if they find themselves behind the eight ball playing from behind, it allows Clemson to pin their ears back, rush the quarterback, and ultimately that 90,000 strong at Kyle Field could turn against them if Clemson's able to get run away and hide. I just don't think A&M is very good. And when you look at Travion Williams running for 240 yards last week, the second best individual effort in school history, I don't think that's easily repeated, and it makes them so one-dimensional if Clemson knows they're going to be throwing, you know, 2 out of 3 downs.
Kentucky at Florida, Florida 14.
31 straight years it's been.
31.
Kentucky has won this game outright, and I think it's going to be 32 after Saturday. You look at Florida, there's actually been a little money that came in on Kentucky, taking the number from 14.5 down to 14. But the Gators can be a surprise team. Now, I'm not sure I'm in the business of linebacker has been positive for what Dan Mullen has been able to accomplish. Don't sleep on Florida as a potential SEC East dark horse. They may look sluggish against Kentucky, but it's Benny Snell and his cast of misfits.
The big CBS game, Georgia at South Carolina. Georgia favored by
10. You look at South Carolina, I'm real concerned about how they're going to hold up defensively. This may look like a big number to casual fans, but I actually think it's a little bit light. When you consider that South Carolina is going to try and use some pace and tempo, last season they lost this game 24-10, only ran 53 plays. I think Georgia, just so many playmakers and ways to beat you with wide receivers and running backs. They didn't show a whole heck of a lot in that 45-0 win against Austin Peay. It's a lay-it-or-don't-play-it type scenario here. I actually like the game over the total, the problem being it's been bet up from 52 out to 57.5. I think some of the value has already been lost.
Some other big games going on. USC at Stanford. Stanford favored by 5.5.
I can tell you that Coach Clay Helton better figure out how to shore up his run defense in this particular spot. USC surrendered 308 yards rushing to UNLV last week. Lexington Thomas and Armani Rogers went bonkers. And this was a 19-14 game before we got to the fourth quarter where USC was able to find some separation. Last season, USC drilled Stanford 42-24, ranting up over 600 yards. Life after Sam Darnold going to be a little more difficult. I think Bryce Love finds a few more running lanes this week than he did against San Diego State, because if USC sells out to stop the run, KJ Costello and JJ Arcega-Whiteside more than capable of taking the lid off of this defense. I actually think you could see plenty of points here. Total at 55. I actually made it in the 58-59 range.
I know you've got 2 minutes left. Let's go to the NFL. The opening night is tomorrow, Atlanta and Philly. I love the Falcons, 1.5-point dogs.
Yeah, hard to make a case for Atlanta now, not because I don't think they can win the game, Brent, but knowing this number was 4 just a few short weeks ago. So if you're a little late to the party taking the worst of the number, we know it's not a good habit to try and start this early in the NFL season. I think the over-under at 45 offers a little bit of value, too. When you consider Philadelphia doesn't have the same dynamic playmakers without Carson Wentz, Atlanta's had a whole offseason to try and break down tape on Nick Foles. I think the first team of 21 could emerge from Lincoln Financial Field. So I like the under the way the market sits now. I would have leaned Atlanta at 3.5 or better. Problem is that price no longer exists.
AFC South, the Colts, Andrew Luck, Cincy at Indy. Indy favored by 3.
I think if you like the dog here in Cincinnati, you may as well bet him now because this number's not going to last. I fully anticipate this price could close closer to 1. Mm. Cincinnati, the healthiest they'll be all season as far as their receivers and weapons with Tyler Eifert, John Ross out there in space. You look at Indy, so much being made about Andrew Luck coming back, but I don't think he's anywhere close to even 80%. Didn't stretch the defense at all during the preseason. He doesn't have an offensive line to keep him upright. And that defense is sieve-like, so I think the Colts could have a long, long afternoon even playing at home.
Real quick, Houston at New England, staying in the AFC South, New England by 6.5.
This is a big number. I want to see New England's new-look offense without Nate Solder and a receiving core that we all have questions about. I think Houston, a little bit of a public darling here, but this feels like a big price. I actually made the game 4. I think the Texans are a very live underdog and have an excellent chance to do what they could in a season ago, actually win the game outright instead of just coming up short.
Am I wrong to love the Titans at Miami at 1.5?
I think you are wrong to love any team going down to South Beach, even this early in the season, playing in sweltering humidity. I know Nashville's not exactly the frozen tundra, but until I see Marcus Mariota and this Titans offense start to click, I have some major reservations about laying points on the road. Miami's a team that I think is a little bit undervalued. I like the Tannehill-Adam Gase combination there, and I think that Dolphins can make a few big plays in the passing game and pull off a mild upset, sending the Titans to an 0-1 start.
Oh, man, way to end this week's segment.
Always a pleasure, guys. Enjoy all the big games over the weekend.
At Todd Furman, and Wednesday. We're going to get a time solidified up. He used to do 4:30, I mean, for years, ever since the show began. But he's now a TV star.
I was going to say, he's big time. He's big time on us now.
He's going to be on FS1 at 4:30. So, anyway,
change his time.
We will. And we'll probably move him into the 5 o'clock hour. When we come back, your phone calls, maybe you want to weigh in on some of what, Mr. Furman said. Nevada keeping it closer than 9. I thought that was interesting.
I thought that was crazy.
He likes the Dolphins in a mild home upset of the Titans. Georgia minus 10. I think that number's a little light.
I thought that was interesting, too.
And K-State hasn't beaten a ranked non-conference opponent at home since 2002. It's a heck of a stat.